We begin Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Siman Samachay Siftes. In Lai Haya, we continue learning Be'ezer Hashem's Baruch Hilchus Ribbis. In Lai Haya Lalav Ragal Agnum Lamalva Shalom Pamacheris. If the Laiva never greeted the Malva, Osel Hagdum Lai, and now after the Malva lent the money, now he starts greeting him. That's prohibited. Vosel Chavda Be'ezer Kiva Be'ezer Knossos. The Laiva may not buy or give some covet to the malva in shul of a makam acher, im loy hay rogel gain gam pam becheres. If he wasn't doing this previously, he may not begin doing so now. And therefore, the poskim say, let's see, he has a baby, he can't honor the malva to be the sandik. Moshe has a tshuva, Igris Moshe, about somebody who lent somebody money in order to print a sefer. So Moshe says that you can't print a thank you in your sefer to thank the person who lent you money. He could write, but Moshe writes, Baruch Nasunim Hashem Yisbarach L'Ploini, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless this individual, Shagam Melchesev Hilvasach, and lent me money for the sefer. Because that is not a thank you, that's a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a notification for what he sent this person towards us, but not thanking him directly. Even saying or anything to show gratitude to the malva is osur. Even saying something is osur. The malva also has to be concerned about ribbis. If the malva tells the loiva, tell me when this person arrives. All he's asking him is just notify me when this person arrives. If that was not something that they did previously, but now because he lent someone else money, so now he feels that he could give him orders, because this loiva owes the malva because he lent the money. So he asked, the pasuk indicates that a loiva is subservient to the malva. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that if there's some sort of dispute between the malva and the loiva, and the malva wants to go to a bezdan which is not local, but he says more prestigious, and the loiva wants to go to the local bezdan, so the loiva has to do what the malva wants. The malva doesn't have to do what the loiva wants. Shem shenemar eved loiva lish malva. Sif Yud, I feel tayvus anosh in a moment, even if it's not financial. Osla malva lehenes min aloiva, the malva may not take, not receive from the loiva. Kigoyin, shema malva ba malochem, if the malva does has some sort of a business, he does some sort of a service. The loiva hazeh ein dark liten loiv malochem pamacheres. The loiva normally does not use the malva's services. Rak atab, but now mach mishel veyu, because he lent me money, so now I choose him to do that work on my behalf, is osur. I may not lend somebody a certain measure of grain, that in return, you'll give me back that amount of grain. I feel him in the minutes, the exact same thing. We need to be concerned that the price of grain will go up. I'm giving you back something more valuable than what you lent me. What they should do is say, you're lending me now a pound of wheat that cost a dollar. I owe you a dollar. V'myesh, however, says the halacha, if currently I have some grain, then daloch is mutalul as a filu kama kurin, then I can give him back grain no matter what the price fluctuation. Became yesh loisim min shakavu b'shuk. Also, if the grain that was lent to me already has established price, muta lovas ab b'shen loiv klum zamin. Even if the loiv doesn't have any currently anything of that commodity, because the min b'minoi. That's only if I borrowed grain and returning grain. Av min b'shen b'minoi. If I borrowed one type of commodity and I'm returning a different type of commodity, kigoyin lo halva sochitin b'sadoichen. I borrowed grain and I'm going to return rice. Also b'kael inyan. Then it's always also abishen sher achad. Even though there's a price v'yesh loydoichen and I already have some rice. Ubedava cotton, however, shen aderech lahakbid. But if I borrowed something which is insignificant and people don't really pay attention to the price fluctuation, muta b'chol inyan, then this is not a problem. And therefore, the halacha is l'chei mataras ish lahavos kikel lechem chavertoi, as is common amongst neighbors, they borrow money, they borrow different things, one from the other, even though when I borrow it, it has one value, and by the time I return it, it may go up. The same question goes with money. Money also fluctuates. The value of money goes up. But the Paiskim say that in the time of Chazal, money was viewed as a value of the commodity. There was a certain amount of gold in a dollar. And if the value of gold fluctuates, the value of dollars fluctuates. In the world where we live in, where that is not the way money is identified, that's not called sa-b-sa, and it's mutter. If somebody gives a tzedakah to a yeshiva, if somebody lends money to a yeshiva, and he's able to get a tax deduction, that is not considered ribbis. Similarly, if I allow someone to use my credit card, and he's going to pay me back for the amount that he spent, but I'm going to get the benefit of the points and the rewards on the credit card, that too is not considered ribbis. Sifya Beis, Hamava Alamashkin Bais Asada. If somebody gives a security, a collateral, or gives him a field, a house, or Makam Bais Knesset, I even give him my seat in shul. Vamalva Yikach as a Paris Mamashkin. And if I gave him a field, the Malva will take the produce that grows on that field. Tzorch Lias B'Nachyaisa. We have to deduct the value of what the malva takes from the amount of the loan. But we could predetermine a set amount that's going to be deducted every year. That will be considered the rental fee that the malva is giving the loiva for that security. It doesn't make a difference if the amount that they identified for this rental fee then is even more, even if the actual value of the rental is more than the amount of rent that they agreed upon, if the malva will, the lender may not in turn rent it back to the borrower himself. That looks like ribbis. When we speak about security, there's many dinim. You should ask a rab before you do so. Sif Yud Gimel. Something that has a set price. You're not allowed to sell it for more than the value. That means I'm willing to pay more if you're going to extend credit. That's on something that has a fixed price. Avadava she'en lo shayidua, something that doesn't have a fixed price. Avapi shemei noisin ze atas amoyos, if you would pay me now, hayi noisin bepachas, I would charge you less. Ubelshvil shumantum esamoyos, but because I'm willing to extend credit and wait till you pay me, meichloik tzas b'yos, I charge you more, mutter. Vad shloyileo harbe, it's permitted if it's not a big difference between the real price and the price that you're paying, then a shtusu yoysa more, a sixth more than the real price. If it's more than a sixth more, It's obvious that I'm charging you more in order to extend credit. But even in a case where it's not a big amount that I'm charging more because I'm willing to extend credit. But the seller explicitly says, "If you're going to give me the money, pay me immediately. I'll charge you one price. But if you want it on credit, so it's very clear that you're paying for the extension of credit. If the person who bought the merchandise paid extra, if what he did was that the person who bought the merchandise paid a high price on credit, so he could sell it immediately for somebody who's going to pay him immediately. That means I bought it on credit, but I'm going to sell it for cash. That's also considered that I'm paying for the extension of credit. If I have an IOU, somebody owes me money, you could sell it at a discount. Even if the time for payment has not yet come, and the seller should write to the buyer, I'm selling you this IOU, it becomes yours, and everything attached to it becomes yours. It has to become completely the property, the asset of the purchaser of the document. But if somebody comes because of the seller, if the seller sold a paid up IOU, that's the seller's responsibility. Just like you could sell an IOU at a discount, you could sell the IOU even to the loiver himself. The Shas Chuvas Pnei Maven says that if I sell it because I want to avoid any disputes, that there's a dispute around this, and I sell it at a discount, let the buyer have the headache, that's also permissible. Sif Tazov, Boyfin Zay Yechayim Lahayalu. And now the Kutz Shulchan Aruch gives us advice. Kigoyim, Ruvain Chetzarach L'Mos B'Nissen. Ruvain needs cash in Nissen. Hayalchetz to Shimon. He goes to Shimon. V'Shimon Noisun L'Shtar Choyvel Atzmai. And Shimon gives him a document, Shuchayv L'Froy Loi Meizuv M'Chodesh Tishrei, that I have to pay you $100 in Tishrei. Connected to Noisa Gam Ruben Shtar Choyev Kazel Shimon, Shuchayv Lefroy Lemezuvim Tishrei, Kadesh Shim Shimatuch, they exchange these documents. Now Ruven has a document that Shimon owes him $100. For Halach Ruven and Machsa Shtar Choyev Shieshlo Shimon, and Ruven goes and sells this document that says Shimon owes him money to Levi now, Bad Tishrei, at a discount, that Levi will pay $90 for this document that is collectible in Tishrei, that Shimon has to pay $100. That Shimon has a document, I want to borrow money from Shimon. Shimon says, I don't have any cash available, but I'll give you an IOU that somebody owes me money. That IOU says that somebody owes Shimon money to be paid at a later date. The person could buy it at a discount, and now Ruvain will have to pay, give Shimon back a shtar choyv that I owe you money. If Ruvain writes a shtar choyv that I owe money, Shimon, that I, in exchange for you lending me money, I write you a document which has an amount in it which is greater than the amount that I actually borrowed, I feel like the shliach, even if there's a middleman in this transaction, also.